Hello, and welcome to the Murder House Radio Show. I'm your host, X. On this show, we will be covering serial killers, killers, mass shooters, disappearances, true crime, and the most deplorable things and people in history, all that good dark stuff. The Murder House Radio Show will be a radio show slash podcast. I'll be uploading videos every Friday at 4 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Make sure you hit the like and subscribe button. Once you hit the subscribe button, hit the bell notification and select all to get all notifications if you are viewing on YouTube. And hit follow if you are listening on a podcasting platform. So sit down, get comfortable, grab some coffee or whatever your preferred beverage is, turn off the lights, and enjoy the show. Hey guys. How's your Friday going? The last Friday of the month. I hope it's going good, and I hope your month was going good as well. So I hope you had a good Friday, and a good month is what I'm saying. But yes, I mentioned at the end of my podcast last week, if you want me to give you any advice, like send in what you want advice about, on my email address. It'll be in the description. And I will answer it at the end, after I'm done talking about the serial killers and all that stuff. Also, my month was good for the most part. And my day when I'm recording this is pretty good. But yeah, also the sources for all the information in this podcast episode will be in the description below. So yeah, let's jump in to today's episode. So today's episode will be on Albert Fish, aka Hamilton Howard Albert Fish. Albert is in air quotes. He was born May 19th, 1870, so he's a older serial killer. He was an American serial killer, child rapist, and cannibal. Oof. He was also known as the Gray Man, the Werewolf of Wasteria, and the Brooklyn Vampire. So an American serial killer? Yeah, I just said that. I'm fucking dumb. And the Moon Menace, that's epic, and the Boogeyman. Fish once boasted that he had children in every state, oof, and at one time stated his number of total victims was about 100. However, it is not known whether he was referring to rapes or cannibalization. Nor is it known if the statements were truthful. Yes, I wouldn't be a serial killer, but if I was catching bodies, I'd probably get some sort of indication to remind me how many bodies I've caught. Like, some indication, I don't fucking know. I wouldn't collect anything, it'd probably be like a tattoo or something, but you know. I wouldn't be a serial killer, it'd be more of like a hitman kind of deal, if anything, but you know. For legal reasons, that's a fucking joke, and I do not intend on ever killing anybody. And truthfully, I don't intend on killing anybody, because why the fuck would you want to kill anybody? Unless they are a pedo and child rapist and all that type of fuck-ass shit, then kill away. Fish was suspected in at least 5 murders during his lifetime. He confessed to 3 murders that police were able to trace to a known homicide. And he confessed to stabbing at least 2 other people. Fish was apprehended on December 13th, 1934, and put on trial for kidnapping and murder of Grace Budd. Okay, he was convicted and executed by electric chair on January 16th, 1936, at the age of 65. His crimes were dramatized on a film called The Gray Man, starring Patrick Bauchu as Fish. Okay, fair enough, fair enough. So that's description of Albert Fish and who he was, but let's dive a little deeper here. So, Albert was born in Washington, D.C. to Randell and Ellen, okay. Fish's father was American of English ancestry, and his mother was Scots-Irish-American, okay. His father was 43 years older than his mother. Holy fuck. Than his mother. Fish in the 1870 United States Census of Washington, D.C., okay. Okay, and 75 years old at the time of his birth. Fish was the youngest child and had 3 living siblings. Okay, that's so wild already. Holy shit. Walter, Annie, and Edwin. He wished to be known as Albert after a dead sibling and to escape the nickname Ham and Eggs. Okay. He's tried to escape the nickname Ham and Eggs that he was given at an orphanage in which he spent much of his childhood. Okay. Fish's family had a history of mental illnesses. His uncle suffered from mania. What's mania? Mania, also known as manic syndrome, is a state of abnormally elevated arousal effect and energy level, or a state of heightened overall activation with enhanced affective expression together with, okay. So like he was crazy, basically. I think that's what that was saying. One of his brothers was confined in a state mental hospital, and his sister Annie was diagnosed with mental affliction, whatever that is. 3 other relatives were diagnosed with mental illnesses, and his mother had an aura and or visual hallucinations. Oh, well, shit. Fish's father Randall was a riverboat captain, and by 1970, a fertilizer manufacturer. Okay. The elder Fish died in 1875 at Washington 6th Street Station of a heart attack. So I'm guessing that was his father, because he was an old man. The Congressional Cemetery records show that he died on October 16th, 1875, but was buried October 16th, 1875. So the same day, okay. In grave R96/89, Fish's mother then put her son into St. Jones Orphanage in Washington. St. Jones. Yes, St. John's Orphanage in Washington, where he was frequently abused. Fish began to enjoy physical pain. Ooh. Well, shit. Enjoy physical pain that beatings brought. Of his time at the orphanage, Fish remarked, "I was there till I was nearly 9, and that's where I got started wrong. We were unmercifully whipped. I saw boys doing many things they should not have done. So maybe he could have avoided being a killer if he didn't go to an orphanage, but still, that's still no reason to be a killer." By 1880, Fish's mother had a government job and was able to remove Fish from the orphanage, okay. In 1882, at the age of 12, he began a homosexual relationship with a telegraph boy. The youth introduced Fish to such practices as drinking piss and eating shit. But they used the professional names, but I'm not going to pronounce those, but holy. Fish began to visit public bathhouses where he would watch other boys undress and spend a great portion of his weekends on these visits. Yes, where I live, I was surprised to find out there were bathhouses or whatever. because when I went to get, like, a fucking STD test one day, that's one of the questions they asked. They're like, have you been to a bathhouse recently? I'm like, we have bathhouses here? And they're like, surprisingly, yes. And I was like, no, I have not been to a bathhouse. Throughout his life, he would write obscene letters to women whose names he acquired from the classified advertising. And, okay, fucking a little bit creepy, a little bit creepy. So that was his early life, up until he was 12, around here. And then we have 1890 to 1918. So that's his early adulthood and criminal history. Word. Let me know if y'all have ever been to a bathhouse. What are they like? They sound interesting. But yes. By 1890, Fish arrived in New York. In New York City. Word. He said at that point he became a prostitute and began raping young boys. Holy shit. That escalated quickly. In 1898, his mother arranged a marriage for him with Anne Mary Hoffman, who was 9 years younger than him. They had 6 kids, Albert, Anne, Gertrude, Eugene, John, and Henry Fish. Okay. Throughout 1898, he worked as a house painter. He said he continued molesting children, mostly boys younger than the age of 6. Oh, fucking sack of shit. He later recounted an incident in which a male lover took him to a waxwork museum where Fish was fascinated by the Viscountin of a penis, so a wax sculpture of a dick. After that, he became obsessed with sexual mutilation. In 1903, he was arrested for grand larceny. So that's, again, theft, I'm pretty sure. Hold on, I'll just give a... Larceny is a crime involving unlawful taking or theft of a personal property of another person or business. Yes. And convicted and incarcerated in Sing Sing. And Sing Sing is a prison... A maximum security. They sent him to a max for stealing? Holy. Sing Sing Correctional Facility is a maximum security prison operated by the New York State Department of Corrections and Community Supervision in the village of Osinging in New York. Okay. Fair enough, fair enough. But yeah, fuck this guy altogether. He's a pedo. Fuck him. Around 1910, while he was working in Wilmington, Delaware, Fish met a 19-year-old man named Thomas Kedden. He took Kedden to where he was staying, and the two began, a sodomizochistic relationship? So a gay relationship? I don't fucking know. Excuse me. It was unclear whether or not Fish forced Kedden to do these things, but in his confession, he implies that the man was intellectually disabled, so preying upon disabled people, too. Huh. Real piece of work, this guy. After 10 days, Fish took Kedden to an old farmhouse where he began to torture him. The torture took place over 2 weeks. Fish eventually tied Kedden up and cut off half of his dick. I shall never forget his screams or the look he gave me, Fish later said. He originally intended to kill Kedden, cut up his body, and take it home, but he feared the hot weather would draw attention to him instead. Fish poured peroxide over the wrapped it in Vaseline-covered handkerchiefs and left a $10 bill. He kissed Kedden goodbye and left. And then he said, took the first train I could to get back home. Never heard what became of him or tried to find out. Okay. In January 1917, Fish's wife left him for John Strabout, a handyman who boarded with the fish family. Okay, so lived with the fish family. Fish then had to raise his children as a single parent. Oof, trifling. After his arrest, Fish told newspapers that when his wife left him, she took nearly every possession the family owned. Holy fuck. Real greasy. She began to have auditory hallucinations. He once wrapped himself in a carpet, saying that he would follow the instructions of John Apostle. So Fish began to have hallucinations. Alright, word. It was about this time that Fish began indulging in self-harm. He would embed nails into his groin and abdomen. Ooh. After his arrest, x-rays revealed that Fish had at least 29 nails lodged in his pelvic region. Jesus Christ. Yo, I saw this picture where a dude was murdered with a nail gun, and it looked like he was murdered with a nail gun. They had an x-ray of the dude's head, and it was just like, it looked like a reverse, like an interned porcupine was in this dude's skull, is literally what it looked like. Like, they fucking killed him hardcore with a nail gun. But, yes. He also hit himself repeatedly with a nail studded panel, and inserted wool dowsels with lighter fluid into his anus and set it alight. Ooh. So he fucking put wool doused in flammable shit, shoved it up his ass, and lit it on fire. Jesus. Yes, I've heard of this guy before, but I just forgot how fucked up he was. Jesus Christ. While Fish was never thought to have physically attacked or abused his children, he did encourage them and their friends to paddle his butt with the same nail-studded paddle he used to abuse himself. He soon developed a growing obsession with cannibalism, often preparing himself a dinner consisting of solely of raw meat and sometimes serving it to his children. Oof. I mean, at least he never hurt his children, but it still fucks kids up to have fucked up parents, even though they never hurt their kids. But goddamn, yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Hope you guys are enjoying this so far. It's interesting. So in about 1919, Fish stabbed and intellectually disabled boy in Georgetown, Washington, D.C. He chose people who were either mentally handicapped or African-American as his victims. Oof. Explaining that he assumed these people would not be missed when killed. God damn. Fish would later claim to have occasionally paid boys to produce other children for him. That's like Peter Scully right there. Fuck, I could do a whole episode on him, that fucking sick piece of pedo shit. Fish tortured, mutilated, and murdered young children with his implements of hell. A meat cleaver, a butcher's knife, and a small handsaw. On July 11th, 1924, Fish found 8-year-old boy, forgive me with these pronunciations, 8-year-old boy, Batrice Keel, playing alone on her parents' farm. This isn't a boy, that's a girl. Batrice Keel playing alone on her parents' farm on Staten Island, New York. He offered her money to come help him look for rubbish. She was about to leave the farm when her mother chased Fish away. Good on the mom. Yeah, don't talk to strangers, kid, no matter if they're offering you money or whatnot. Don't fucking trust them. Fish left but returned later to Keel's barn, where he tried to sleep but was discovered by Patrice's father and forced to leave. During 1924, the 54-year-old Fish, suffering from psychosis, felt that God was commanding him to torture and sexually mutilate children. Jesus Christ. Shortly before his abduction of Grace Boot, Bud, Fish attempted to test his implements of hell on a child he had been molesting named Cyril Quinn. Quinn and his friend were playing box ball. What's box ball? Oh, that's four square word. I used to play that all the time in like elementary. They were playing box ball on a sidewalk when Fish asked them if they had eaten lunch. When they said that they had not, he invited them into his apartment for sandwiches. Yo, what's up with kids back in the day just trusting random people? Like, I know it was different times, but like, damn, shit has changed so much, bro. Like, if someone ever invited me back when I was young into their house, I'm fucking good, bro. Holy. Well, the two boys were wrestling on Fish's bed. They dislodged his mattress. Underneath was a knife, a small hacksaw, and a meat cleaver. They became frightened and ran out of the apartment. That's probably a good thing that they found him so they could leave. Bigamy. What the fuck's bigamy? Fish remarried on February 6, 1930 in Waterloo, New York to Estella Willox, but divorced after only 1 week. Holy shit. Fish was arrested May 1930 for sending an obscene letter to a woman who answered an advertisement for a maid. Okay. Following that arrest, one in 1931, he was sent to Bellevue Psychiatric Hospital for observation. Well, I mean, that's good, but they obviously didn't observe him hard enough. But, okay. And then we are getting into his murders. So we have the murder of Greg Budd on May 25th, 1928. Fish saw a classified advertisement in the Sunday edition of the New York World that read, "Young man, 18, wishes position in country. Edward Budd, 406 West 15th Street." On May 28th, Fish, then 58 years old, visited the Budd family in Manhattan under the pretense of hiring Edward. He later confessed that he had planned to tie Edward up, mutilate, and leave him to bleed to death. Oof. Fish introduced himself as Frank Howard, a farmer from Farmingdale, New York. He promised to hire Bud and his friend Willie and said he would send them in a few days. Okay? Fish failed to show up, but he sent a telegram to Bud's family apologizing and setting a later date. At least he didn't stand him up better than most people nowadays. When Fish returned, he met Edward's younger sister, Grace Budd. Oh. He apparently changed his intended victim from Edwards to Grace and quickly made up a story about having to attend his niece's birthday party. He convinced the parents, Delia Flanagan and Albert Budd first, to let Grace accompany him to the party that evening. Why would you let a random dude you barely know take your daughter or whatnot? That's suspicious. The elder Albert Budd was a porter for the United States Equitable Life Assurance Society. United States Equitable Life Assurance Society. Okay. Grace had a younger sister, Latrice, two older brothers, Edward and George, and a younger brother, Albert Budd II. Grace left with Fish that day and never returned. The police arrested 66-year-old Superintendent Charles Edward Pope on September 5th, 1930, as a suspect in Grace's disappearance, accused by Pope's estranged wife, trifling.
Just kidding, we don't know who this guy is, so maybe he's done some fucked up shit too. He spent 108 days in jail between his arrest and trial on the 22nd of December. The 22nd of December, 1930, he was found not guilty. Yeah, there were a lot of wrongful convictions back then because, you know, it was back in the day before there was DNA evidence. In November 1934, an anonymous letter was sent to Grace's parents, which ultimately led police to Fish. Oof. Bud was illiterate, but could not read the letter herself. Okay. So she had her son read it to her. The unaltered letter, complete with Fish's misspellings and grammar error. Oh, okay, so here's the letter itself. Gotta get ready to read this letter for you. My dear Mrs. Bud, in 1894, a friend of mine, shipped as a deckhand on a steamer Tacoma, Captain John Davis. They sailed from San Francisco to Hong Kong, China. On arriving there, he and two others went ashore and got drunk. When they returned, the boat was gone. At that time, there was a famine in China. Meat of any kind was from $1 to $3 a pound. So great was the suffering among the very poor that all children under 12 were sold to the butchers to be cut up and sold for food in order to keep others from starving. A boy or girl under 14 was not safe in the street. You could go in any shop and ask for steak, chops, or stew meat. Part of the neck body of a boy or girl would be brought out and just what you wanted cut from it. A boy or girl behind which is the sweetest part of the body and sold as vinyl cutlet brought the highest price. John stayed there as long as he acquired a taste for human flesh. On his return to New York, he stole two boys, 1 7, 1 11. 7 11, huh? Okay, back into character. Took them to his home, stripped them naked, tied them in a closet, then burned everything they had on. Several times every day and night, he spanked them, tortured them to make their meat good and tender. First, he killed 11-year-old boy because he had the fattest ass and, of course, the most meat on it. Every part of the boy was cooked and eaten except head, bones, and guts. He was roasted in the oven, all of his ass boiled, broiled, fried, stewed. The little boy was next, went the same way. At that time, I was living at 409 E 100 Street, rear right side. He told me so often how good human flesh was, I made up my mind to taste it. On Saturday, June 3rd, 1928, I called you at 406 W 15th Street, brought you pop cheese, strawberries. We had lunch. Grace sat in my lap and kissed me. I made up my mind to eat her on the pretense of taking her to a party. You said yes, she could go. I took her to an empty house in Westchester. I had already picked out. When we got there, I told her to remain outside. She picked wild flowers. I went upstairs and stripped all my clothes off. I knew if I did not, I would get her blood on them. When all was ready, I went to the window and called her. Then I hid in a closet until she was in the room. When she saw me all naked, she began to cry and tried to run downstairs. I grabbed her, and she said she wouldn't tell her mama. First, I stripped her naked. How she did kick, bite, and scratch. I choked her to death, then cut her small pieces so I could take my meat to my rooms, cook and eat it. How sweet and tender her little ass was roasted in the oven. It took me 9 days to eat her entire body. I did not fuck her, though. I could have had, I wish. She died a virgin. Jesus Christ, that was fucking dark. That's a fucked up letter to receive. Jesus Christ, I couldn't even imagine. God damn. But, I guess I did read that letter pretty good, because I do read creepypastas, narrate creepypastas, so I'm good at reading fucked up shit in a fucked up, ominous way. But holy fuck. The link will be down in the description if you want to, read that for yourself or whatnot. But, yeah. Holy shit, there's that. Police investigated the letter, the story concerning Captain Davis and the famine in Hong Kong could not be verified. The part of the letter concerning the murder of Grace, however, was found to be accurate in its description of the kidnapping and subsequent events, although it was impossible to confirm whether or not fish had actually eaten parts of Grace's body. Jeez. Well, and then here is his capture. The letter was delivered in an envelope that had a small hexagonal emblem with the letters NYPCBA, representing New York Private Chauffeurs Benevolent Association. Okay. So a business letter. A janitor at the company told police he had taken some of the sanitary home, but left it at his rooming house at 200 East 52nd Street when he moved out. So he left the letters behind, I'm guessing, word. The landlady of the rooming house said that Fish checked out of that room a few days earlier. She said that Fish's son sent him money and asked her to hold his next check for him. William F. King was the chief investigator for the case. The chef investigator, I'm investigating a chef. He waited outside the room until Fish entered. Fish agreed to go to headquarters for questioning, then brandished a razor blade. King disarmed Fish and took him to the police headquarters. So Fish tried to body a cop. Well, shit. Fish made no attempt to deny the murder of Grace Budd, saying that he meant to go to the house to kill Grace's brother Edward. Fish said it never even entered his head to rape the girl, but the letter claimed to his attorney that while kneeling on Grace's chest and strangling her, he did have two involuntary ejaculations. Oof. This information was used at trial to make the claim the kidnapping was sexually motivated, thus avoiding any mention of cannibalism. Okay, so the letter I read to you just recently wasn't the full letter then? I'll try to find it. Just give me a second. Well, couldn't find much or whatnot, but, yeah. So, other crimes discovered after Fish's arrest were Francis McDonald, MCDONNELL. During the night of July 14th, 1924, 9-year-old Francis McDonald was reported missing by his parents. Who names their kid Francis if it's a... Oh, no. Francis is a guy name. Never mind. So he's reported missing by his parents. He failed to return home after playing catch with friends in Port Richmond neighborhood of Staten Island. A search was organized and the boy's body was found hanging by a tree in a wooded area near his home, who, after being sexually assaulted and then strangled with his suspenders, according to an autopsy, Donald had also suffered extensive lacerations to his legs and abdomen, and his left hamstring had almost entirely been stripped off his flesh. Fish refused to claim responsibility for this, although he later stated that he intended to castrate the boy but fled when he heard someone approaching the area. Holy. McDowell's friends told police that he was taken by an elderly man with a gray mustache. A neighbor also told police he observed the boy with a similar-looking man walking along a grassy path into the nearby woods. Francis's mother, Anna McDowell, said she saw the same man earlier that day. She told the reporters he came shuffling down the street, mumbling to himself and making queer motions with his hands. Fuck's sakes. Times have changed. I saw his thick gray hair and his drooping gray mustache. Everything about him seemed faded and gray. Okay. This description resulted in the mysterious stranger become known as the Gray Man, so that's how he got the nickname, and the McDowell murder remained unsolved until the murder of Grace Budd. So his count is at 2 so far. When several eyewitnesses among the Staten Island farmer, Hanson Keel, positively identified Fish as the odd stranger seen around Port Richmond the day of the McDowell's disappearance. Okay. Richmond County District Attorney Thomas J. Walsh announced his intention to seek an indictment against Fish for the boy's murder. At first, Fish denied the charges. It was only in March 1935, after conclusion of his trial for the Budd murder and his confession to killing Billy Gaffney, that Fish confirmed to investigators that he had also raped and murdered McDowell. When McDowell's confession was made public, the New York Daily Mirror wrote that the disclosure solidified Fish's reputation as the most vicious child slayer in criminal history. Oof. And then there's the Billy Gaffney he mentioned. On February 11th, 1927, three-year-old Billy Baton and his 12-year-old brother were playing in an apartment halfway in Brooklyn with four-year-old Billy Gaffney. Oh, shit. When the 12-year-old left for his apartment, both younger boys disappeared. Baton was later found on the roof of the apartments. When asked what happened to Gaffney, Baton said the boogeyman took him. Gaffney's body was never recovered. Oof. Initially a serial killer, Peter Kuzinowski was a suspect in the boy's murder. Ooh. Who's this dude? Maybe we shall cover him one day. Peter was an American serial killer who is known victims were 20-year-old. Okay, word. Maybe we shall cover him one day. So this dude was suspected of the murder. Then Joseph Mahan, a motorman on Brooklyn Trolley, saw a picture of Fish in the newspaper and identified him as the old man who he saw on February 11th, 1927. The old man had been trying to quiet a little boy sitting with him on the trolley. The boy was not wearing a jacket, was crying for his mother, and was dragged by the man on one of the trolleys. Batten's description of the boogeyman matched Fish. Okay. Police matched the description of the child to Gaffney. Detectives of the Manhattan Missing Persons Bureau were able to establish that Fish was employed at the house painters by Brooklyn real estate company during February 1927. Okay. That on the day of the Gaffney disappearance, he is working at the location a few miles from where the boy was abducted. Fish claimed the following in a letter to his attorney. I brought him to Rikerav dumps there in a house that stands alone, not far from where I took him. I took the G-boy there, stripped him naked and tied his hands and feet and gagged him with a piece of dirty rag I picked up out of the dump. Then I burned his clothes, threw his shoes in the dump, then I walked back, took the trolley to 59th Street at 2 a.m. and walked home from there. Okay. The next day, about 2 p.m., I took tools, a good heavy cat of nine tails, home, made short handle, cut off one of my bells in half, slit the half in six strips, and 8 inches long. I wiped his bare behind with the blood that ran from his legs. Oh, so we took him home and ate him, I think. What the hell? Cut off his ears, nose, slit his mouth from ear to ear. And then there's a picture of fucking the dude from Sons of Anarchy, the Glasgow smile. Slit his mouth from ear to ear. Gouged his eyes out. He was dead then. So he did all this shit when he was alive, and then he was finally dead when he gouged his eyes out. Holy shit. I stuck the knife in his belly and held my mouth to his body and drank his blood. I picked up four old potato sacks and gathered a pile of stones. Then I cut him. I had a grip with me. I put his nose, ears, and a few slices of his belly in the grip. Then I cut him through the middle of his body, just below his belly button, then through his legs about in 2 inches below his behind. I put this in my grip with a lot of paper. I cut off his head, feet, and arms, and hands, and legs. Oh, shit. He cut off the legs below the knee. Then I put it in a sack weighed with stones, tied the ends, and threw them into the pools of slimy water you will see all along the road going north beach. Going to North Beach. Water is 3 to 4 feet deep. They sank at once. I came home with my meat. I had the front of his body I liked best. His monkey and peewees and a nice little fat behind to roast in the oven and eat. Holy shit, this is fucked up, bro. I made a stew out of his ears, nose, pieces of his face and belly. I put onions, carrots, turnips, celery, salt, and pepper. It was good. Then I split the cheeks of his behind open, cut off one of his monkey and peewee, and washed them first. I put strips of bacon on each cheek of his behind and put it in the oven. Then I picked four onions, and when meat had roasted for about 25 minutes, I poured about a pint of water over for gravy and put in the onions. At frequent intervals, I blasted his behind with a wooden spoon so the meat would be nice and juicy. In about 2 hours, it was nice and brown, cooked through. I never ate any roast turkey that tasted half as good as his sweet, fat little behind did. Oof. I ate every bit of the meat in about 4 days. His little monkey was as sweet as a nut. No pun intended, if I think that's what he's talking about. Holy shit. But his peewees, I could not chew. Threw them in him a toilet. Well, that's fucking some of the most disturbing shit I've read in a while. Holy shite. Daphne's mother Elizabeth visited Fish and Sing Sing, accompanied by Detective King and two other men. She wanted to ask him about her son's death, but Fish refused to speak to her. Fish began to weep and asked to be left alone. After 2 hours of asking him questions through his lawyer, James Dempsey, Miss Gaffey's gave up. She was still unconvinced that Fish was her son's killer. She was unconvinced. But the letter, bro. But there, yeah. Fucking. Damn. Just damn. Yeah. I'm, fucking speechless on this one, boys. Don't got much to say here. And then there is the trial and execution. Albert Fish's trial for the murder of Grace Budd began on March 11th, 1935 in White Plains, New York. Frederick P. Close presided as judge, and Westchester County Sheriff Assistant District Attorney Albert F. Gallagher. Ooh, Gallagher was prosecuting attorney. Fish's defense counsel was James Dempsey, a former prosecutor and the one-time mayor of Peekskill, New York. Okay. The trial lasted 10 days. Fish pled insanity and claimed to have heard voices from God telling him to kill children. Several psychiatrists testified about Fish's sexual fetishes, which included sodomization, sadomasochism is giving the receive pleasure from acts, so violent acts word, flagation, so like hit it, whipping, flagging word, flagation, exhibitionism, Jesus Christ. Voyeurism is the sexual interest of the particular watching someone engage in intimate, so a cuck. Picorism is a sexual interest of penetrating the skin of another person, so stabbing people. Cannibalism, Chorogophria is the consumption of feces, the piss drinking, the vampire lifestyle. He said he liked to be a vampire. Pedophilia, obviously, fuck that guy. Necrophilia, fucking dead bodies. Inflation is a ritual of removing the exterior female genitalia. Okay. Dempsey in this summation noted that Fish was a psychiatric phenomenon and that nowhere in legal or medical records was there another individual who possessed so many sexual abnormalities. So as evidence, they had a bunch of witnesses and a bunch of the letters he sent or whatnot, and then the testimonies from the psychiatrists and all that stuff. You can go to the sources and read that, because I'm not going to read this all. Because, copyright shit, and I don't really want to read it all. But, yeah. And then they sentenced him to death, and he was sent to death by an electric chair. But, right here, had a meeting with reporters after the execution. Oh, okay. After the execution, Fish's lawyer James Dempsey revealed that he was in possession of a client's final statement. This amounted to several pages of handwritten notes that Fish had apparently penned in the hours prior to his death. When presented by the assembled journalists to reveal the document's contents, Dempsey refused, stating, "I will never show it to anyone. It is the most filthy string of obscenities I have ever read. Well, shit. But, and then it says here, none of the jurors doubted that Fish was insane, but ultimately, as one later explained, they felt he should be executed anyway. They found him to be sane and guilty, and the judge ordered the death sentence. Yes, Fish arrived at prison in March 1935 and was executed January 16th, 1936, in an electric chair at Sing Sing. He entered the chamber at 11:06 p.m. and was pronounced dead 3 minutes later. He was buried in Sing Sing's prison cemetery. Fish is said to have helped the executioner position the electrodes on his body. His last words were reportedly, "I don't even know why I'm here, holy." According to one witness present, it took two jolts before Fish died, creating rumors that the apertures was short-circuited by the needles that Fish inserted into his body. These rumors were later regarded as untrue, as Fish reportedly died in the same fashion and time frame as others in the electric chair. Okay, so there is that. So his victims, the known victims, Francis X. McDowell, age 8, Billy Gaffney, age 4, and Grace Budd, age 10. We covered all those. And then the suspected victims is Emma Richardson, age 5, October 3rd, 1926. Yatta Ambrosides, Ambrowitz, age 12, 1927. Robin Jane Liu, age 6, May 2nd, 1931. Mary Ellen O'Connor, age 16, February 15th, 1932. And Benjamin Colgans, age 17, December 15th, 1932. Well, shit. And then there is some movies, like a documentary film about Fish was released in 2007, directed by John Browski. And then there is the movie The Gray Man. And then the television. Fish is mentioned twice on the police procedure crime drama, Criminal Minds. Well, shite. Fuck this dude, he's a pedophile. Fuck pedos. But, yeah, what are your thoughts on this case? And, all that stuff. But, yeah, that was a fucked up case. Kind of bummed me out a little bit. So, that is Albert Fish. Thank you for listening to this episode on the Murder House Radio Show. I hope you have a good rest of your Friday, or whenever you are listening to this. Check out the social medias and the sources in the description below. Make sure you hit the like and subscribe button. Once you hit the subscribe button, hit the bell notification and select all to get all notifications if you are listening on YouTube. If you are listening on a podcasting platform, hit follow. See you next episode. This is your host X, signing off.